Well, it depends on where Peggy is. She's not here to sing with us, so. Let me get away from the microphone a little bit here. Who wants to start?
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon fire and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true. Faith of our fathers we will love, both friend and foe, in all our strife, and preach thee to as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thee at this time to give thee thanks for this new day, for the gift of life which thou hast given us, and for the abundance of blessings that you continually pour out upon us. We'd ask at this time that you would send your Spirit to be with us as we draw apart and unite our thoughts on thee and on angels. And we are thankful for the gospel and ask that you would be with us and touch us, that we might even further understand all that thou hast for us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've asked a few people to share today. I'm not going to call them by name because they have the prerogative of saying I don't want to, unless I feel impressed to say, would you please stand anyway? we've normally been talking about angels and who they are and what they do. And this morning, we're going to deviate from that just a little bit. Since this weekend has been kind of concentrating on bringing people into Saints Haven, there are some of you who are here because of special reasons. And while I've asked two or three to share, there's a couple that aren't here yet, so maybe I scare them away. But we plan on having some time left. So if anybody else would like to say something about how they feel or why they are here as opposed to someplace else. And then I've asked Virginia and Manny to share their experience, because then that ties directly into angels, because what happened to them definitely would never have transpired if it wasn't for angelic power. And if any of you have had any experiences like that, that's what we would like to hear from you today. And then if there's time left, why, there's a couple things we can talk about angels. And then next Sunday, I don't know whether we'll finish angels or not, but I already told Richard he's up next. And it might be the second Sunday in December, or as soon as we finish with angels, because you decided you wanted to finish up on angels. So we decided here we're not trying to push something. We'll finish what we start, as long as we don't prolong it too long until people get tired of listening to it. So anyway, the first person I'd like to have share, and if you feel comfortable coming up here, okay. If you don't, if you're willing to share, well, then I'll bring the mic to you. But I've asked Brother Bob. Really, I was in hopes Kay would be here, because she's kind of on the shy side, but she's the one that kind of got everything started in the first place about them being here. But I'm going to let Bob speak first and share. And then he said he could talk all hour. I said, well, you can't have the whole hour, but if I think you've talked long enough, I'll say, brother, you've got 5 minutes. So if you hear me say that, I'm not being rude. Okay, yeah.
Sorry. My life in the church started from day one, right after I was born. So I'm pretty well steeped in the principles of the church and the fellowship that has gone on all of my life. That's why I told George I could probably talk for an hour, and maybe even longer, about all my experiences in the church, because the church meant so much to me, regardless of my experiences in high school and college and the Air Force and all of that. Church was about the foundation that I stuck to the whole time. In 1980s, of course, when the big contentions come up, my wife at that time and I felt it was caused by too much of the ministry going over to St. Paul Seminary and being taught things they shouldn't have been taught. And we stuck with it until I had a lot of contention with the stake president over the pastorate at West College. I was part of it then. And it just got to a point that I come home one day and I said, I've had it. We're gonna sell the house, which I had built, and beautiful house that I built for her mainly. And I told her, we're just gonna sell the house, buy a fifth wheel trailer and travel. So that's what we did. And I won't tell you, get into the experiences we had there, but they weren't necessarily good, because we go to various congregations and find people who are willing to be led into what they were doing in the church at that time. Anyway, my first wife came down with cancer and passed away about 18 months after that. And then there was a conspiracy on the part of my wife's children and my sister for me to meet Kay. And Kay and I knew each other in high school, so we were both steeped in the original principles of the church. There was no doubt about that. And so 6 months later, when we got married, we'd talked about this all the time, and we decided we'd try one church and then and another and see what's going on. We tried the South Chrysler congregation, and they seemed to be on their own. They didn't want anybody else fooling with them, and that didn't go with us. So we didn't go there. And then we tried another one, and then finally, because David and Karen were going to Atherton, we went there, and it wasn't too bad. Until Jonah was trying to deliver some instruction on how the church was reorganized, and contention immediately come up. They didn't want to do it. And I thought, whoa, what's going on here? So it was after that we heard of the church here. And we come out, and I can tell you, I've never seen such fellowship and love in many years. And it's because of this, no matter how small this congregation is, we're going to stick with you. And we love you. And Kay and I have gotten into more scripture reading and things like that that we had done before, prayer together. And it's all because I think that we have the opportunity to have fellowship of fellow saints who believe the same and who stick to the scriptures the way they were originally supposed to be. Like I said, I could probably take a whole hour, because I got all kinds of things I could say that happened to me and that turned me away from the church first, and then here we are. So I'll tell you for sure, we enjoy our fellowship here, and we want to do it as much as we can, because it's finally made us whole again. And we were so lacking in things that we wanted to do, because there just wasn't a congregation around that we wanted to enjoy as much as we enjoy you.
If I can just take the liberty, when we talked with Kay and Bob, They said they've been wandering in the wilderness for 20 years, trying to find a home. And when they were invited here, they came once, they came twice, they came three times. And when they were asked it, we found a home. And why? Because they felt the love and the fellowship and the unity that they had not found other places. So that's why we wanted to have them share. Doris, would you share? I know she doesn't want to, but she doesn't have the heart to say no to me.
If I stay home.
I'm asking a few people that I've heard already heard them share how they feel, so.
Well, I'm kind of like everybody else. I started out in church, but not this one. And when I was a baby, I was in the cradle role at the Christian church. And I looked at it over the years. My girlfriend was from Stuartsville, and they lived by me, and she went to the Christian church. They were raised, I guess her parents were in the RLDS, but we didn't have a church around that was walking distance. We didn't have cars. And so we all went to the Quindaro Christian Church. And it was pretty good. We grew up in the Christian Youth Fellowship, and we had good teachers. And then later on, when we moved up north of the river, we went to the North Kansas City First Christian Church, and it was okay. We raised our kids there and had a pretty good time. But when we moved over here, Bill and I went to a Christian church, and there was something missing. There just wasn't the right feeling there. We weren't learning anything, and it was kind of a happy country club thing, basically. So when I was thinking about going to the Nazarene church. So when he passed away, I met that one. And of course, well, I had been to cottage meetings down at Martin's house to help them with Randy their Martin. New son, huh?
Randy Martin.
Randy Martin, to help them with their new son-in-law. One of the girls' husband, but I wanted to ask questions, but I didn't want to disrupt the meetings. I wanted him to join the church, basically, so I didn't worry about it. So it didn't work. So then I met Vernon, and we had Bible study every night, practically. He'd come over to my house, and Lindsay, my granddaughter, would come over, and she'd say, "Can we have Bible study tonight?" We did that all, the three of us.
How old is Lindsay?
She's this age, so she's
22. 15, 16, probably, wasn't she?
Okay. She's 22 now.
Yeah, she was young. Well, she was going to church.
Yeah, okay.
But she was our chaperone. He wouldn't sit in my house unless the front door was open, and he'd sit where everybody could see. He was sitting right there in the front door. But anyway, he said, "We'll go to your church, but not every other Sunday. Once in a while, we'd go to your church." So I ended up joining Atherton, of course, and he baptized me after we got married. I didn't want to be baptized before we got married because I told him that everybody would think I had to be baptized or he wouldn't marry me. So I got baptized a week or so after. It was on my dad's birthday. Anyway, not too long ago, I was going through some papers at home that I've had for 100 years, and most of you know this story. And there was a piece of paper, and I was reading it, and I was blessed in the RLDS church when I was 5 weeks old because my grandma went to an RLDS church. And I remember up off of Quindaro Boulevard in Kansas City, Kansas, and I remember driving her up there and dropping her off when I got old enough to drive. And that's all I know about that church. I don't think anybody ever went with her. I don't even know how often she went. For some reason or other, I was blessed in that church. So when we came here, actually came to Susie's, I felt like all the problems had just fallen away. We were just safe. And when Susie came up with the name of Saints Haven, I thought, this is a haven from the world. We have everything we need right here. All the friends and family and help and anything we could possibly want, we have. So I'm very happy to be here. That long enough.
That's just fine. Whatever you have to say is fine. Bonnie, would you come up and tell us how you feel? Because I know how you feel. Would you tell the congregation?
I might mention Kay's not here because she's down in her back again.
Yeah, he wants to know that she didn't shy away.
Yeah.
Positive. By the way, Bonnie didn't know I was going to call
on her. No, I didn't. Well, as most of you have heard me praise God so often, He's a main source of my strength in my life. In my life, in this part of the country, started out when my dad was, he belonged to the church, but he was searching. He wanted to come to Zion. He wanted to bring his family to Zion. We lived in Nebraska, Decatur, Nebraska. And so he prayed and prayed about it, and one day he went to the store, and he seen a sign on a pillar out on the front of the grocery store, and it was telling about independence and about the headquarters. And so he decided that he would pray about it and see if this is where we were to go. And sure enough, the Lord directed him to come here. So he contacted the auditorium and asked, told them that he went together, and he asked them if there was a plan. And so they wrote back and said no. There wasn't a plan for gathering, and they didn't encourage the gathering to Zion. That's where he wanted to come, to the land of Zion. He wanted to help bring about the cause of Zion, and they didn't encourage him. But Brother Case helped us to come. There was one brother was dead. There was 8 children, and we rode. My mother held me on her lap all the way. It took 2 days to drive at that time because of the pokey little cars, you know. And we came to Brother Case's home, and he had a building where he'd kept sheep. And they kind of scrubbed it out a little bit, and that's where we moved into the sheep building. And my mother made it a beautiful, beautiful place. And so before my father passed away, we all knew that our hearts were here and that this is the land of Zion where we wanted to be. And we wanted to help to bring about the cause of Zion. And so I've had some experiences. The Lord's been very good to me, and they are true experiences that I've had with Him. And He came to my bed one night, and He told me that He tell my people that I'm here, and I want for them to open their hearts up and let me in. And so that's what my message today that I give to you, that He is here, He said, and He's here as a thief in the night. And He said, open the door of your heart and let me in. So I've tried to do that, and I failed in many things, but I do believe in angels. I haven't had one that came to me, but my grandson did. And she even told him his name, her name, and it was Angelica. And so there are angels that come, and why they come different times, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to one and to being with them someday. And I love this group, and I thank you for the spirit that you have and the wonderful dedication that you have to this cause, the bringing about of the cause of Zion.
Hey, George, can I add a testimony to this?
Sure.
This morning, Bonnie had... No, can you hear me? I'm loud.
Well, we don't have a tape. We're taping it.
Oh. Well, I didn't intend to. I just wanted to ask you how the Lord works.
This morning... Bonnie got up, and her stepsister's been having some health problems and some mental problems. And she said, I'm going to go up and deal with Rosemary this morning. And so I didn't say anything. I went ahead and was getting ready, and she came into the bedroom, and she said, I feel that I need to go to church today. I don't know why.
We know why.
And so that's how the Lord works. To our hearts and our intelligence, to prompt us to do His will and respond to it. If she hadn't came today, who would you ask?
Me?
I hope not. But that just added testimony of how the Lord works in our lives.
Larry, I don't know what happened to your wife and son, but would you come and share?
Do what I can.
Morning. Well, our journey here to Saints Haven seemed to be a fairly long journey, but it took, well, at least for us, it felt like. And, it was about 3 years in the making, and we had been attending a congregation, and it just was seemed to be stagnant. It just wasn't growing. We had a good spirit, and we were being blessed and ministered to. It's just, it was not growing. It just wasn't going anywhere. And so we, Robin and I talked about it, and we felt that we needed to move on and tried to find another home to where we could have more people that were our kids' age, and so that they would be able to fellowship and to learn what the gospel and what the people were like to to grow. Anyway, we went to several places, and there was a lot of places we just didn't feel at home. And then there was, because of the things that where we have attended in the past, and that they people were or the priesthood were not wanting to accept my priesthood, and as a result, some places they would not accept my children's baptisms. Some places even said that, well, we would serve, we won't pull the plate away. But they were, it just, they had, in their bylaws, they had basically worked it so that they could exclude whoever they wanted to. And, but as far as the people didn't know, and they didn't, they wanted us there, they loved us, but because of the way they had their bylaws set up, they wouldn't accept the ministry that we could give to them. And it was heartbreaking. And we went to place after place where we just could not feel accepted and feel the love. And anyway, over time, we finally were invited to come here to Saints Haven. And from the moment that we walked in through the door, we felt at home. We felt like we belonged. And it's just, I mean, I have never been anywhere that where even the potlucks, every bit of food is great. And it's just, it's been a blessing, and we have surely enjoyed being able to come here and to be able to become a part of this family and to worship and to fellowship and to be a part of this congregation.
I don't know how many people would have stuck with the church as they have in searching, because they were grounded enough in the church that they wouldn't let go. There are others who have gone to Baptist and the Methodist and the Nazarene and whatever other church. Those are some of them they go to, because, and I said, well, it's kind of sad, because I said, as far as my wife and I are concerned, if we stood alone, I would not give up this gospel, because we know that we're so certain that it's true. But it's much more enjoyable when you can share it, isn't it, with other people. Is there anyone else before we switch that would like to share about their feeling about this branch? I mean, this is what it's for. I know several of you shared quietly, but anybody else want to share? Okay. We'll kind of switch it. Well, Anise. I'll get shot, but just share briefly how you feel and how you start when you were ready to leave a long time ago.
You're in trouble now. Yeah. When I get you home.
She won't wait till I get home. I'll tell you, it'll be before I get home.
It truly has been a wonderful experience for me. I think I suffered many years spiritually, going all the way back into the 80s, like Bob said. I knew things were happening. I saw the church school material, and I saw the things that were negatives, and I won't linger on them. I told George, I don't even have a reason particularly to go to church other than just being there. And we came here, I felt good. But then things started happening, and it was all over again, and I told George, I really am not happy where we're at. So he said, well, we'll go around a few places and check out some of the branches. But it was very difficult, and we didn't want to bother Peggy and Dan and where they worshipped. Because on Sunday we would head to the right off of our driveway to go where we went, and they would go left toward Atherton. And our other children are on the other side of Independence. So I thought that would never happen, because he kept saying, just wait a little while, just wait a little while. Till finally a little while came to a point, and we, George said to Dan, do you mind us coming and joining you? And of course he said yes, whether he meant it or not. But it has been the greatest experience for me. I feel alive. I feel like we're busy doing the Lord's work. Now that George has been called to be a 70, I've been able to be part of his ministry and going into some places here in the States with him. And we've been welcomed as a husband and wife. And he's done, you know, he's touched a lot of people. And because those people are touched, I'm touched. So I love all of you.
I have to explain the reason I didn't leave where I wanted to leave is because I was still bringing ministry to people, and you don't just walk out and say goodbye. So that's one of the struggles, and we kept asking Dan, are you going to be doing anything at your branch? Well, we're still thinking, we're still toying with the idea. But I have to tell you, and Doris and Betty will tell you that I felt directed, finally, after they began to organize, I felt directed to come here. And I felt directed to be in charge of missionary work, and I don't volunteer for things, folks. And I said, I also was directed to teach adult class. But I said, I don't know whether you want me to, because I have something in mind, and that is to prepare you people to reach out and witness. And we still have some things that are collected in there that I'm waiting for you people to start using them. Because they are worthwhile. I've handed out dozens of them to people, and sometimes you said, be courageous and sense what you need to. But anyway, when I came here and told them what I wanted to do, it was Betty and Doris, before I ever said I was going to join, she said, I want you to teach adult class. So that kind of confirmed, you know, that we were in the right place. But you know, we are in the right place, and certainly enjoy the Spirit. I wondered how long you could sit in your seat. All right, we'll kind of be brief because we want to switch courses, but we want to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say something real quickly that the men don't know anything about, and that's that the women here have a wonderful fellowship. I wanted to, I almost wanted to put it all over the internet after last time's meeting, because all these women come. And we have a wonderful fellowship together. And one of the things that they're doing is sharing their life testimonies, and then their testimony of coming to Jesus Christ, and getting to know each other in depth in such a way. There's just, I don't think you could separate us because of the love that abounds there. And it's just been really uplifting, because I've been in so many women's groups where we're just tugging at the women to come and do that kind of thing, and to have a place where they love to fellowship together, and they open their homes to all the women and everything in our lives, because all of us have different life experiences that we're able to share freely with each other. And it's been a real, real huge blessing, and just something you guys didn't know about.
Thank you. All right, since we've been talking about angels, there are those in the world who say that angels don't exist today, or they don't function today. And I think you and I know better. And I've asked Virginia and Manny if they would share their experience. How many of you have not heard about their experience of their house blowing up? Okay. Well, I'm saying you haven't heard their story. You've heard a few people allude to it. And I've heard a couple others say, yeah, I heard it, but I've kind of forgotten about it. So I hope, since we've been talking about angels, that this is the time. And I'm going to try to stop a little before 1:45, because we're going to have a song service, and I'm not cutting you short. That's not what I'm saying. and because I want us to sing before we have worship. Jim McKay is going to be here. I know he teaches, or he has a prayer service. Oh, he's already here. Hey. Hi, Jim. He said he was going to be here. I didn't see him sneak in. So, all right, Manny and Virginia, would you come share, please? By the way, this was in Buckner, right? So it's pretty close by.
Well, it was May the 6th of 2002, and it was it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and we were still in bed, and so, you know, it's just a split second when you're soundly asleep, and then kind of somewhere in my mind I remember boom, and then next thing we know I wake up in the backyard standing. And so we were on the back of the house, the bedrooms, the two bedrooms. So Gary was a few feet that way, and then I was in the middle, and Manny on that side, and it was dark. And I remember as I opened my eyes, I just saw debris, burning debris around, and Manny yelling for me, and Gary saying something on the side. So we just gather in the middle and hugging, crying, and on our pajamas. Manny had he only slept on his underwear, and he had a baby blanket that he always slept with. Till this day, he still keep it on his... I think he put it on the pillow and lay on it or something, because he still carry it. And that's the only thing that survived from his room. All his toys, his clothes, his books, he had a shelf full of books, and everything went, everything burned. But I think he probably was hugging his baby blanket, because that came out with him. And he said that he hit the ground when he blew out, but I really don't think he did, because it was raining all night that night, and his underwear was dry. It wasn't wet or dirty. It was so he didn't hit the ground, and we didn't either. I remember standing, and Gary did too. So the next door neighbor come out and says, "Good God!" You know, when he saw everything going on, and he took us into his house, and then they loaned us robes and shoes, house shoes for me. And then the firefighters came, and they checked on Manny and decided that they were taking him to the hospital, because he had a bruise here, a small bruise. They said, "We gotta take him to check him, because he might have internal injuries or something." So they took him, and I went with him, and Gary stayed behind. He had to go to, he had no hair, so when the flames came into the bedroom, we figured he was facing this way, and I was facing the back wall. So he got all his mustache cinched, and his top of his hair, the flame got the top of his head. So later on, when they have him take a shower in the hospital, the skin just kind of washed down. He was in pain. But I only had a small scratch on my back, and my hair got cinched. I was facing the wall, so the flames got me back on the back. And Manny, he was facing the bed. The bed was this way, and he was facing this way, so he got his eyebrows and his top of his hair all cinched. So we went to the hospital, and I spent all day there with him, and he was treated for a second degree burn, small he had up here on his forehead. And so he spent the night there that night, and I was really worried all night that he might have nightmares or wake up screaming in the middle of the night. And he slept soundly all night, and when I saw that he began moving in the morning, I went by the bed, and he woke up, and I say, "Manny, did you sleep okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I slept good." And I said, "Did you dream anything, or did you have any dreams?" And he says, "Yeah, I had dreams. I had dreams about the explosion." And I said, "You did?" And he says, "Yeah, I did. I saw the angels that got us out of the house." So, you want to say something?
I guess.
Okay. Say.
Get up close to the mic.
So I remember in the dream I was laying on the ground, and she says I wasn't, but I think I was. And I remember, or during the fire, I remember I couldn't really see well because all the soot was in my eyes, so everything looked like it was cloudy. And so I remember a piece of the house like looked like it was about to fall on me, and I closed my eyes and I screamed, and then all of a sudden, like, it looked like a shadow about to fall on top of me, and then it got just disappeared. And so then all the sparks were falling on top of me. And then in the dream, I remember this light came and hit the wall, and it fell away. And then when we were turning around, because we had a dog that lived with us, and it survived too, and we still have him, his Rex. And I remember he was jumping over the flames and jumped over a fence and ran away. And then I remember that in the dream, and then I look up, and there's 12 angels in the air, and they're just hovering there. And then I never forget the light that I saw, the white light. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
When I heard the story, what impressed me was the fact that one wall went one way. If I understand, one wall went another way. And where did they end up? They ended up out in the backyard. And it's only by a miracle that a house blows up that you can be basically unharmed and be out in the backyard standing up, because they weren't even wet. The ground was wet from rain. And it just convinces me again how good God is. We don't always understand why he does it to one and doesn't always do it to everyone. But like Anise said one time, she said, "I don't feel worthy to be administered to because I think of the millions of people who are worse than me." And I said, "That's beside the point. The point is you ask the Lord for help, put him here in his hands, and then it's up to him to decide, not for you." So anyway, I appreciate I won't go into all my stories, but I still, the other night, I shared a Wednesday night prayer service. I shared about my ladder experience, but I just wanted to say this, that it just finally dawned on me that that when I was up on that ladder and I was taken 4 feet out beyond the ladder when it fell 20 feet down, I must have had an angel has touched me somewhere. Unless they can just by the power say move, or whether they actually move you, I don't know. But he blocked out our memory to where we don't even know what happened. There were two other people, and they don't know what happened. Normally, they would be able to see, wouldn't they? They could see what happened. But the Lord just blocked out everybody's memory, and partly because I think they were not exactly believers. That may have been the reason, I don't know. But I found myself out 4 feet out in the grass, without a doubt. And I thought, my gracious, you know, I've had an angel actually touch me and move me. But I know for sure that angels exist. And that's why we've been studying them and why we need to understand them and appreciate them. We're going to stop here because I want, yes.
Well, I'd like to interject a thought. And I'm not sure, perhaps you've touched on this thought, but as is the case, the word of the Lord always has an answer for us. And it has an answer on this case that really establishes the truthfulness of what we believe. It's a scripture that brings great consolation to us, but great consternation to those who profess to believe in Jesus, but don't believe that angels any longer minister unto the children of men, which are many. That is, there are many Christians who don't believe that. It's recorded in the first chapter of the Hebrew Epistle. It's the very last verse. If you're familiar with that chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks about how angels are ministering spirits. And then he closes the chapter with these words: "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be, that's present and future tense, heirs of salvation. Now here's what we have to ask ourselves. Either angels minister to the earth today or they don't. If they don't, then there are no longer heirs of salvation on earth. If there are heirs of salvation on earth, then angels must of necessity minister. It's a very difficult question to give a reason to not believe in angels when you read a scripture like that. You deny your own salvation.
Do you have our scripture on angels, the whole four pages? I need to get that to you because we've covered quite a few areas like this that's important for us to understand, but I appreciate your sharing, Brother Jim.
The angels took the bus and the people of kids.
Pardon?
When we were in Mexico on a caravan, the angels took the bus of kids from one place to another.
Larry, I remember that.